Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you here this afternoon. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air here this afternoon with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Glad to have you with us today. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We pray you bless the program this afternoon. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody this afternoon. Help us to point people to Christ. Help us to help encourage believers in their walk with you. Give us greater understanding of your word and how to apply it in the world around us. We thank you again for all you've done for us. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you today. And, this is one of those days, again, that I appreciate Pastor Lutz and his program before us. And of course, I had a few minutes to talk with him as we were exchanging places in the studio as he was on his way out and I was on my way in. And, you know, you have things that you want to talk about from the Bible and different things, and of course then what's happening in the world around us kind of intervenes on time from time to time, and so we got to touch on some of those things as well. I had planned and hopefully will get back to the letter that I was looking at last week. Remember last week here we were talking about a letter that's an open letter from a millennial Christian, an open letter it was titled, "We Are the New Generation of Independent Baptists, an Open Letter." And this is a letter to Christians to help understand the millennials. And so we're going to get back to that, hopefully, Lord willing. But I do want to touch on what's happening in the world around us. In particular, our prayers go out to those in Florida recovering now from the aftermath of a truly tragic event that took place, this shooter that came in, and it's a tragedy whenever this sort of thing happens. And as we look at things like this, you know, the question always becomes why, and why did this happen, and then along with that, somebody's bound to bring up, why did God allow this to happen? And then the other thing is, what can we do to prevent these things from happening? And could have this been stopped before? Could this have been prevented? And what can we do to prevent things in the future? And I wanted to touch on a couple of those things real quick, because, you know, there's so much false information that's given when things like this happen. You would think from listening to some people that the sole reason for this event in Florida was a gun. I remember one time I was working at the polls during the elections. I work as with the elections in where I live in Richfield, and I was in there one time, and there's a guy that comes in, and he is a park ranger. Now, a lot of people don't realize, but park rangers are considered law enforcement officers as well. And so this gentleman came in, he's a park ranger, and he had his service weapon with him. And this lady comes up to me real serious and points him out and says, "Sir, that man there has a gun." And I said, "Yes, ma'am. He's a park ranger. Park rangers are law enforcement officers within the state of Ohio. That's his service weapon, which he is legally entitled and required to carry." And what I wanted to say was, "Well, ma'am, what are you worried? Should I be worried that you're going to go over there and grab that gun? Because he's trained. He knows what he's doing. I'm not worried with him there with that gun, but you have a worry about that gun for some reason. Maybe we should be concerned about you." And I didn't say that, of course. I just informed her that he was a park ranger, law enforcement officer in the state of Ohio, legally required to carry his service weapon with him. And she didn't quite know what to say about that. But guns are a fact of our life. Even in countries that have banned guns, they're still a fact to be contended with. And so a lot of people think the United States is number one in mass shootings. And there's a website called Crime Prevention Research Center. And the Crime Prevention Research Center has a variety of statistics here, and one of them that they did, this was comparing the annual death rate from mass public shootings, and a mass public shooting is when four or more people are shot at one time, and comparing the annual death rate from mass public shootings, comparing European countries to United States, Canada, other parts of the world, from January 2009 until December of 2015 in this particular study. And the death rate per million people from mass public shootings during this time period, if you ask people, what do you think the number one country is? And they say, oh, United States has all these guns. No, you know what the number one country is? Norway. Norway, where guns are banned, if I'm not mistaken. Number two is Serbia. Number three is France. Number four is Macedonia. Number five is Albania. Slovakia is number six. Switzerland is number seven. Switzerland is, there's a lot of guns in Switzerland. Adult men in Switzerland are required to have guns. Moving on to Finland, number eight. Belgium, number nine. Surely the United States is in the top 10, isn't it? Number 10 is the Czech Republic. United States does make the list at number 11. And then there's the frequency of mass public shootings. Now, that statistic was ranking countries based on the number of people who died in mass public shootings between January 2009 to December 2015. Well, this is the number of mass public shootings based on the population of the country per million. And this is done on a population basis, both of these studies, so that we can compare apples to apples, because obviously with 300 million people plus in the United States, you know, if one in a million was a bad apple, you know, that's out of 300 million plus, then that's at least 300 and some. But if you had a population of only 1 million, then that's only one. So you can see where numbers are skewed based on the population sizes. So that's why we're relating this to on a per capita basis. So per million, the number, the frequency of mass shootings. Well, sure, the United States has got to be number one here. Well, no, number one is Macedonia. Number two is Albania. Serbia's number three. Switzerland's number four. Norway's number five. Slovakia's number six. Finland's number seven. Belgium's number eight. Nine is Austria. So surely the United States made the top 10 here. No. Number 10, again, the Czech Republic. France is number 11. The United States comes in at number 12, followed, of course, by Canada, which is number 13. And, of course, you know, Canada banned guns and such throughout Canada, because that was supposed, you know, to end mass public shootings. And of course, Canada comes in at number 13, right behind the United States, which was number 12. Oh, and it's incidentally, the death rate from mass public shootings, Canada did follow the United States there. United States was number 11. Canada was number 14 there, followed by England, who was number 15. And of course, one of the interesting things that have happened in England, this is only shootings. As the United Kingdom banned guns, death and attacks with knives and other instruments, such as cricket bats and things like that, increased. And promoting some people in Britain to want to ban knives longer than 2 inches in length. And they said, "There's what reason would you need a knife longer than 2 inches?" And people would say, "Well, you know, in cooking, we need knives for different things." Oh, well, who would need a knife longer than 2 inches for cooking purposes? And these are things they were actually talking about. Well, there's a reason that evil happens. And before I get much further along here, I do want to remind you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also find our Facebook page at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. Excuse me, a little bit of a froggy voice there, I think. Facebook.com/livewithpastoral. You can watch us on Facebook as well, Facebook Live, and that's going right now. So greetings to those that are watching on Facebook Live right now. But you can check out our past programs by going to livewithpastoral.com. And that also links to our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm a pastor. And you can find us there on Friday nights from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. We'll be there tonight. I'm sure we'll be talking about this and some other things, and we would love to have you come out, visit us if you're not doing anything tonight. It's an informal Bible study. We have refreshments, and there's an opportunity for you to ask your questions about the Bible, current events in light of God's Word. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road, right across right where Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike meet on Brecksville Road, Northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland. And we normally meet in the meeting room, but tonight we will be meeting in the area. They're doing some remodeling, but we'll be meeting in the breakfast room area right across from the front desk this evening. So look for us right when you come in the doors. We'll be right there. And we also meet there on Sundays. And Sunday at 10 o'clock is our morning Bible study. We're currently going through a series on proofs of God's existence. And then, of course, on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, that's our Sunday morning worship service, and I'm currently preaching through the book of Galatians there, and we're in Galatians chapter 2, and then on Sunday night, again at 6 o'clock, meeting there as well, and I'm currently preaching through the book of Psalms, and I believe Psalm 139 Sunday night is where we'll be. Want to mention, too, also because of some things going on with the hotel this Sunday, we will not be in the meeting room there. We will be actually upstairs on the third floor. There will be signs showing how to get to us. We're in a suite on the third floor above the breakfast room, so we're easy to get to, and you can find that out when you get there. So we'd love to have you come out and visit us. Let's see. I want to get back to talking about some things, and like I said, I'd hope to get to that letter, and I'm not sure how fast we're going to get to that, but I did want to make mention of a couple of things here, because we see what's happening in the world around us, and people wonder why and what can be done about it. Well, the number one thing that can be done about this is what the liberal media does not want. It's what the left in this country does not want. It's what the teachers' unions in this country do not want. It's what the mainstream media in this country does not want, and that's God. You know, we pushed God out of the schools back in the 1960s through a series of court decisions. The Ten Commandments were removed from schools. The Bible was removed from schools. Prayer was removed from schools. Now, prior to that time, people had guns and knives in school all the time. You'd be amazed how many people had guns. There, especially in rural areas, you looked out in the parking lot where teachers' and students' vehicles were parked, you would have found, especially during hunting season, you would have found rifles, you would have found all kinds of guns out there on the school grounds in the parking lots. And there was a time when kids would take BB guns to school for show and tell. And I can remember in grade school in the 1960s and early 70s playing with cap guns on the playground. We had cap guns. I mean, they were made to look like real guns. They didn't even have the orange tips that you have on fake guns today or on toy guns. They were cap guns made to look like revolvers. And you had this roll of caps that were in there. When you pulled the trigger, it would advance to the next cap and go pow. And if you remember those types of caps, we used to take the caps out and find a large rock that we could set them on and hit them with another rock just to make nice gunfire sounds on the playground. This is what we did. This is in Richfield, Ohio, you know, not out in the middle of Timbuktu. This is right here midway between Akron and Cleveland. And nobody thought anything of it. Nobody thought of bringing in a gun and shooting up your classmates and shooting up the teachers. What's changed? What's changed? Well, we pushed God out of the schools. We tell kids that they're nothing more than animals, that they came about by time and chance acting upon matter and forces and such. And they're not answerable for anything or to anything. They're not responsible for anything or anything like that. And we've convinced them that they're animals, and they act like animals. And so as a consequence, we wonder, where's God? Well, where's God? We forced them out of the schools. We told them not. We didn't want them around. We denigrate anybody that brings up God. And yet, back in the 50s, back in the 60s and earlier, when people talked about God freely in the schools, when they had prayer and Bible reading in the schools, I'm not talking about turning the schools into a Sunday school class. We got churches for that. But this acknowledgement that we're all created beings, answerable to our Creator, that there's somebody above us that we're responsible to, that makes people behave better. It really does. And that's why the United States Constitution was put together in such a fashion, recognizing that there is a God that created us and that we're responsible to Him. That's why the French Revolution fell apart and degenerated into anarchy, because they didn't retain God in their knowledge and they were given over to evil. And then not only have we booted God out of the schools, we don't acknowledge God's word and what God says in His word about how to deal with those that do evil. I appreciate Pastor Lutz talking about this a little bit, and how he talked about how Solomon had wrote about how when the punishment for evil is delayed, it loses its power to prevent others from doing these things or worrying about these things. And the lawyer, and I know she's doing her job, but the public defender that's defending this kid that killed 17 people there in the school in Florida says he's a broken child. And so he's a victim. He's a victim. Well, let me read something in Genesis chapter 9. And this predates the law. This predates God's law, the law that was given to Moses many centuries later. In Genesis chapter 9, as Noah and his family are getting off from the ark, God makes this interesting statement. This is where we get capital punishment. Capital punishment predates the law of Moses. Capital punishment predates the New Testament. Though it's reinforced in the law of Moses, it's reinforced in the New Testament. And it says in Genesis chapter 9, verse 5, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require." Now notice what he says, "At the hand of every beast will I require it. At the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." Now, what he's saying here, and this was later expanded on in Moses' law, but he said he was going to require the blood of your lives at the hand of whoever kills or slays that person, whether beast or man. Now, think about this. Under Moses' law, if an ox gores somebody and that person dies, the ox was to be killed. Now, the ox was not to be killed to make an example to the other oxen so that they would say, "Oh, maybe I better think twice before I gore somebody. I might be killed too." No, the oxen doesn't know right from wrong. The oxen doesn't understand the ramifications of his actions. The other oxen don't take note what happened to the oxen that gored somebody and was put to death. God said, "At the hand of every beast will I require it." So when an oxen killed somebody, or when a lion kills somebody, or when some other animal kills somebody, you see these tragic stories every once in a while where some dog kills a child or even an adult, it says that their blood is to be required. Now, what is meant by required? "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." So, man or beast that sheds the blood that kills another human being is to be put to death. That's what he's saying here. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, whether it's a beast or a man, is to be put to death. Now, you can see where they're laying the groundwork for this kid in Florida. Oh, he's a victim. He's not responsible for what he did. We have to make allowances because he had a troubled life. Well, no, the oxen doesn't know right from wrong. The oxen doesn't understand the ramifications of its actions. The oxen might have been beaten and had a troubled youth. But you know the real reason the oxen was killed? You know the real reason the lion was killed, the other animal that was killed that had killed somebody? It wasn't primarily punishment. It was to protect society. If you had an ox that was willing to kill people, you needed to kill it to protect the rest of society. I remember reading a story about a guy that helped build the railroad that connected in Uganda from the coast to be able to connect it up to, what is that, Lake Victoria or whatever, that's the inland there, and where the Nile River has its origin. And they were having trouble connecting this railway, and they had a lion that was killing people every night. There were people who were being killed by this lion, and this guy was brought in, this British officer was brought in to oversee the finishing of the railroad and to get rid of this lion so that they could complete the railroad. And they had to work to catch this lion. And I remember reading this story in other cases where they have man-eating lions. And they said normally the lions would not kill and eat people, but when they got a taste for human blood, they wouldn't stop. And so the only way to protect them was to kill the lion. See, it's not to punish the lion for shedding man's blood. It was to protect the people, to protect society. Well, let's take this to the man that supposedly pleads temporary insanity and shouldn't be held accountable for what he did because he was temporarily insane. He didn't understand the ramifications of his actions. He didn't understand the difference between right or wrong. Well, you know what? Just like the oxen, the Bible still says, "Who sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." Society has to be protected from predators. And there are some people that are just plain predatory. We understand that. Some of you know from listening to the program, from coming to our church, I went to school with Jeffrey Dahmer. Now, many of you know who Jeffrey Dahmer is, notorious serial killer. And I actually went to school with him, junior high and high school. In fact, I sat next to him in homeroom. If you get a hold of a Revere school yearbook, you will see that we're separated by one particular young lady that was in our class. She's the only one who came between us, but she didn't sit between us. I sat next to Jeff all through high school in homeroom. I had classes with him. I knew him quite well. And Jeff, in one of his comments after he was arrested and in prison, said that if he had not been arrested, he would kill again. And he said that if he got out of prison, he would kill again. Jeffrey Dahmer had become a predator. Well, what do you do with the ox that sheds, that's become a predator? What do you do with the lion that becomes a predator? You execute that predator to protect people. And that's what capital punishment was. And part of the reason, too, the reason here, for in the image of God made he man. The devil stirs up predatory instincts in animals. The devil stirs up evil in the heart of human predators to kill human beings, because in doing so, he's striking at the very image of God. Well, how do we combat that? It's by getting God back into the public schools. It's by sharing the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel message with these young people. It's by teaching them what was taught for hundreds of years in this country, that we're a creation, a special creation of God, that he loves us, and that we're answerable to him. Yes, we sin, but God made a way that we can be forgiven from our sin when Jesus Christ died on the cross and was buried, rose again the third day, victorious over sin and death. trust Christ. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.